trusting in my father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day himself is near me with a special mercy for each other. All my care he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his children treasure is a charge that on himself he as thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days of moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear safely over, where my loved ones I shall meet. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. And Lawrence, what a blessing that was. Turn in your Bibles again, please, to Luke chapter 6. On our Sunday morning messages, as most of you know, we're going through the book of Luke in my sermons. And we come this morning to chapter 6, and the title of the message is Biblical Rules. Now, we all have rules which we live by. Usually we don't like some of the rules, but we all have rules. You have rules at your home. We have traffic rules, we have school rules, we have mama's rules, you have those, we know what those are. They're not written in our homes like sometimes they are in the classroom, but we know well what mama's rules are, don't we? And we also know the importance of abiding by those. As we come this morning and look at these five biblical rules, in our Christian walk, there are rules that we have, you know, that we know the Bible teaches us we should do, like pray and read the Bible and witness and go to church and tithe, and those, we know those. But in this chapter, the first one is the golden rule, and that one, of course, you're familiar with that. There is a popular steakhouse, Outback, and you know their slogan, no rules, but you know they have them. If you start acting a certain way, and I won't give an example, I don't want to put any ideas in your head there, they'll probably throw you out. They have some rules. And so as we look at these five biblical rules this morning, we're going to look at the golden rule, and then the judge's rule, the master's rule, the gardener's rule, and the builder's rule. And these are all in Luke chapter 6. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that instructs us how to live in such a way that is pleasing to you. And Lord, that should be our desire, not that we walk in such a way to please man, but we walk in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you. And Lord, you've given us these guidelines, these rules, these precepts from the Scripture so that we will know what you want from us and that we don't have to wonder about how we can please you. So we thank you for making your Word clear to us. And Lord, we know that that's usually not the issue, the Word being clear, but the issue is usually our obedience to it. So we pray that you would work in our hearts and draw our hearts closer to you to be obedient to the rules of life that you have for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we look first of all at the golden rule, you're very familiar with that, and it is not, as some people have twisted it to say, he who has the gold makes the rules. Well, that might be the world's philosophy there, and we might find a lot of truth to that. But Jesus taught this rule in Luke chapter 6 when he said, as ye would that men should do to you. He didn't say, as people do to you, you do to them. He said, as you would, as you want people to treat you, treat them that way. Just that one principle from Scripture, can you imagine what kind of world we would live in if every single person really did that? All the time? It would be heaven, wouldn't it? Oh, and one day we will have that enabled in heaven there, and it will be golden for sure then. Well, there are some requirements for this rule, and the first one is to love. In verse 32, he says, for if you love them which love you, and that is right after the golden rule in verse 31, as you would that men should do to you, do you also likewise to them. And leading up to the golden rule, he says the same thing in verses 27 through 30 that we read earlier. Love your enemies, do good to them, and give. And so we'll see these three things that he tells us that the golden rule involves: be loving, be serving, and be giving.
And I put the words intentionally instead of just love, serve, and give. Because when you use that phrase, be loving, be serving, and be giving, it implies an ongoing, continuous activity. And that's what the Lord wants from us, not just to show one act of love or one act of giving or one act of serving, but for us as believers, that should be our lifestyle. And that's what the golden rule is, teaching us how to live. And Jesus said in verse 32, love them. He said, if you love those that love you, what thank have ye? For even sinners do that. And so we know that unsaved people, regardless of how wicked they are, even some people that are morally good but they're not saved, you know, people treat them well, they'll treat them well. And they return that. But Jesus is teaching something going beyond what the everyday person in the world does, what unsaved people do when he says to love your enemies there. How do you do that? In verse 27, he says, love your enemies, and he tells us how to do that in verse 28. Right in the middle, it says, pray for them which despitefully use you. And so if we really want to get rid of an enemy, the best way to do it is to pray for him and turn him into a friend. Because God can do that. He does miracles there. And so rather than talking about our enemies behind their backs and running them down, we should talk to the Lord about them. And that's what he says. Unsaved people talk ugly about their enemies and criticize him back. But Jesus says, I'm setting a new rule, a new standard for you as my believers, my followers there, to be loving. And then he says also to be serving. That is not just returning a favor. Unsaved people do that. Somebody does a favor for them. They feel like they owe them a favor. And even if they don't feel like they owe them one, they'll do another favor for them. But Jesus said, as you serve other people and as you do good for them, you do that without hoping to get anything else in return. The same way with giving in verse 35, where he says, love your enemies and do good and lend. And he didn't stop with that, because the word lend would give us an idea that, hey, you're going to get it back. But it goes on to say in verse 35, lend, hoping for nothing again. So if you lend it to someone without ever hoping to get it back again, then that's the same as giving it to them. And so that's what the Lord said. Even unsaved people, they'll make loans to receive as much again, as the scripture says. And so they're going to get everything that they have loaned back, and usually they're going to get some interest. And so he says, it's not to be that way with you. You're to be able to give to others there. And so the Lord was giving as well. Now we see the reason for this. The reason is in verse 35. He says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You shall be called the children of the highest, for, there's the reason, for, because he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Aren't you glad that God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil? Because we are, even as we heard in the song, when he saved me, he saved the worst among us. And that's the way the Apostle Paul felt as well. And God reaches out to those who are ungodly and evil, which is all of us there. And so the reason that we are commanded to be loving and to be serving and to be giving is not because the other people deserve it. Aren't you glad that Christ did not die for only those who deserved it? For therefore he would not have died, because no one deserved it. Even the ungodly people will be kind and love those that deserve it, who have done something for them. But Jesus goes beyond that in this golden rule when he says, the reason we do it is because that's what God's done for us. And if God has been kind and loving and merciful and giving and serving to me, and I don't turn around and do the same that he's done for me, I'm really not showing my gratitude for all that he has done for us. And then the Lord tells us there's a reward for this as well. Now, we shouldn't do it for the reward, but God is just, and he will honor and reward those who abide by his golden rule. And it is in verse 35, he says, your reward shall be great. Now we know that heaven is not a reward. heaven is not by works of righteousness which we do. It's according to His mercy that He saves us. But whenever we are obedient to the Word of God, obedient to the golden rule, then God gives us reward. Verse 36, He kind of summarizes the golden rule. He says, "Be ye therefore." There's the therefore. He's summarizing all of these three things of be loving, be serving, be giving by showing mercy. "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? And why is this called the golden rule? I don't know where that began and who started calling it the golden rule. But as you look at this verse 36, it ties them all together. Mercy is certainly golden, isn't it? Thank the Lord for His mercy there. And His golden rule is that we are merciful, that we are loving and serving and giving to all those, even our enemies, those who do not deserve it, because even the ungodly can do it to their friends. The next rule is the judge's rule in verse 37. He says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." So the judge's rule involves those three things. The first thing it involves is judging not. And in each one of these, I will put beside it, if you're interested in the Greek words, because sometimes it helps us to understand what it means. The Greek word for judge is the word krino. We have an English word that comes from that, and the word is crisis. And so whenever we are in the midst of a crisis, whether it's a hurricane coming or whatever it may be, we have to look at all the input that we have, and we have to make a judgment. We have to make a decision. We have to separate all of the false things from all of the true things and distinguish what is the right thing to do. And so here when he says, "Judge not," there's not a period there. And we know a lot of people misunderstand the idea of judging in the Bible, but it has to do with making right decisions there. The command in verse 37 is not "judge not." The command is "judge not and you shall not be judged." And so what he's teaching here is the way that we judge is the way that we're going to be judged. It's that principle of sowing and reaping. We know that because in another passage, Jesus in John chapter 7, he gave this command. He said, "Judge not according to appearance." But here's the command, judge. Jesus commanded us to judge. But he didn't command us to judge by my own personal standards or opinions. He commanded us to judge righteous judgment. Because the same way that we judge, the way that we make decisions, then the judgment is going to come to us. So whenever we make those judgments, whether to whom am I going to be loving and kind and forgiving and merciful, well, it should be to everyone there, as we saw in the golden rule. Well, not only does he say, "Judge not," verse 37, he also says, "Condemn not." And that is a totally different word. The little prefix at the beginning of this word, kata, is a Greek preposition that means against or down. And the rest of the word has to do not so much with making the decision, but it has to do with punishment, bringing punishment against someone. So not only does he tell us not to judge according to our own opinions, but we're not the one who are to bring the judgment down, bring the condemnation down. This is continuing the thought of the golden rule, because the golden rule says to do good, not just to those who deserve it, but to do good to all. So we're not the ones who bring down this measure of judgment and condemnation. God doesn't want us just to be neutral. He wants us to do good to those that even don't deserve it. And so mercy, when God shows His mercy, He is withholding His judgment from us. And whenever He shows us His grace, He is giving us His favor. And it's something negative and positive. And so as we are judging not, we're not being neutral, but we're actively not condemning and bringing judgment. Then what are we to do? The third thing in this verse is the word forgive. He says, "Judge not and condemn not, and forgive, and you shall be forgiven. This Greek word is apaluo, and that little prefix in front of luo, luo is the Greek word for loose. And the little prefix is a word that means away from. And a wonderful picture is what God does for us whenever He forgives us. He takes all the sins that bind us and will condemn us to hell, and He loosens us from those sins. He loosens us away from them. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. That's what He does for us when He forgives us. He takes them away from us. He takes away the judgment and also the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, Romans tells us there. And so He says, in this judge's rule, and Jesus is the judge, He says that we're not to be the judge and not to condemn, but we are certainly to forgive, because that's what our judge has done for us as well. Then we come to the third rule, which is the master's rule in verse 40. In the master's rule, it says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or complete when he's fully taught, is the idea, shall be as his master, as his teacher. And so here's Jesus giving these rules. He gives the rule about the golden rule, about how we should live. Then He gives the rule about the judge's rule, about how we make decisions and handle those decisions and are forgiving to others. And Jesus is not just a teacher who gives out the lessons. Jesus is a master who lives out the messages that He gives to us. And He sets the example. And parents, sometimes we know that they're faulty in that from time to time. Have you seen that where parents will maybe take their kids to church and drop them off and go? You know, oh, it's good to send them to church. But what kind of example is that whenever they just drop them off and leave them there? Jesus says we need to be setting the example as well. He's the example. He's the master. And as He gives us this rule, go back up to verse 38 where it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? They shall both fall in the ditch. And so Jesus says, you need to be an example so that the blind have someone that they can follow who is not himself blind. And Jesus, as the master teacher, when He gave us the golden rule that said, be loving, He showed us how to love. In John chapter 13, we won't turn there for sake of time, this speaking of Jesus says, having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. So our master example, when He tells us how to love someone, He loves us unconditionally, and He loves us all the way to the end. And unsaved people, the sinners, as we saw earlier, can love those that love them back as long as they're treating them well. But boy, you cross that line and my love for you is over. Aren't you glad God doesn't have that kind of love towards us? He has the master example for us. He is also the master example in this part of the golden rule as well. Whenever He said to do good, we know that Jesus came not to be served, to be ministered unto, but He came to serve. He came to do good. And He did good things for the blind. He did it for those who could not walk. He did great things for those who could not see spiritually, as He did for us. He served. So Jesus was the example for the golden rule, and also here the master rule, we have that as well. This is what He came to do. And then the third thing is to give, as we saw in verse 38. Jesus gave. He gave us something greater than money. He gave us Himself. And giving is sort of like this principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And verse 38 says, if you give, and verse 38 is talking about money, and when you give, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom? Then he goes on and says, for with the same measure that you meet, the same shovel or spoon you use to meet it out is the way you're going to bring it back in. And so if we go back to the golden rule and look at the master example, if we are giving out love and service and forgiveness by the spoonful, then that's how we're going to get it back. But if we're giving it out by the shovelful, the wheelbarrowfuls, then that's the way it will be measured to us again. And Jesus has set that example for us. Well, we go to the fourth example, and that is the gardener's rule. Jesus oftentimes used illustrations to help the people of the day understand. And we come to verse 43. He says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And so in the gardener's rule, there are two kinds of trees. There is the good tree and there is the corrupt tree. There's not a mixture. There are only two kinds, as Jesus is telling us. And also he's telling us, as we will see in a little bit, there are two kinds of people. There are those who are righteous, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done. He is our righteousness. There are those who are saved, and there are those who are lost. And this is represented by the good tree and the corrupt tree. And so the gardener knows, and in this day he's talking on there are trees for beauty as well, but he's talking about trees that are going to produce some fruit, some things that you can eat, things that will nourish you and sustain your life. Well, Jesus said in verse 44, every tree is known by his own fruit. And so not only does the gardener know that there are two kinds of trees, but he also knows that there are two kinds of fruit. And whenever you look at this fruit and you see that that's an apple, and you make a judgment of what kind of tree that is, you judge that tree. You say, oh, that's an apple tree, because you're not going to get oranges from an apple tree. And that's what Jesus tells us to do in verse 44. Every tree is known or judged by his own fruit. Now, it doesn't say that we're to be condemning other people, but we are to be in a place of judging, not condemning, and not judging according to our own opinion, but we are to judge according to righteous judgment. If we see the apple on the tree, it's right to say, that's an apple tree. And so here the gardener's rule is there are two kinds of trees, there are two kinds of fruits, and then Jesus is not just teaching about gardening. He's making applications to life. And we see that when he says in verse 44, every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they get grapes. Verse 45, a good man, that is speaking of a saved man, for we know that there's none good in and of himself, out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, he brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Jesus says, just like there are two kinds of trees, there's a good one and there's a bad one, and the good ones are going to produce good fruit, the bad ones are going to produce bad fruit. He said there are two kinds of hearts. Jesus, in his parable of the sower, when he was talking about the sower going out to sow, and remember that parable when some of the seed fell on the wayside, and some of it fell on the stony ground, and some of it fell among the thorns there, but some of it fell on good soil, and it produced fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, the Bible says. And so that fruit that fell on the good soil, the seed that fell on the good soil, it produced fruit there. And God is likening that principle to the heart. And when God's word is sown into our hearts, then he wants it to produce fruit. And the seed that was sown was the same in all of those illustrations, but it didn't produce the same because the soil was different there. And the soil represents the heart. In our gardening, there's work to be done. There's the tilling and the cultivating, the fertilizing, the spraying, the watering, the weeding, and all of the work that is done there. But whenever it starts to come up, then you can see the fruit. And we can't make the fruit grow. We can do all the things we need to do, but only God can give the fruit. That's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit there. And how can you tell if a person's heart is an evil heart or a good heart? You say, well, we can't tell. That's not up to us. It's not up to us to condemn, but it is up to us to do the decision, the judging, because we can tell a person's heart by its fruit. That's what he's teaching us here, there. And so doesn't mean that we give up on him. So if we in our judgment say, well, that person, I see his fruit is evil, he must have an evil heart. Then what do we do? Let's go back to the golden rule. Let's love them and serve them and forgive them and do good to them there. And so the problem is not in the judging. The problem is in, well, we make our judgment and then we don't carry out the golden rule after we've made the judgment. Now we come to the last rule in this passage of Scripture, and that is the builder's rule, beginning at verse 46. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them," notice that, "and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock," the rock of ages that we heard in the offertory. "And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. He built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." So the builder's rule is there is a foundation of life. And the foundation of life is, we go back to verse 47. Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." And that's the foundation of life, doing the will of God. Jesus asked the question in verse 46. He says, "You say to me, Lord, Lord," and Jesus is Lord. Now he says the issue is not whether Jesus is Lord or not. He is Lord. He's Lord of all. We saw last Sunday, earlier in this chapter, he's called the Lord of the Sabbath. But he's the Lord of all. So the question comes to verse 47, are we obedient to the Lord? He said in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say?" Why do you call me Lord and you don't live by the principles of the golden rule or the judge's rule there or the gardener's rule or the builder's rule? Why do you not live by these rules, the master's rule there? Well, we see not only the foundation of life, we see the fall of life. Those that were built on the sand. There are two foundations, just like there are two kinds of people, two kinds of trees, two kinds of fruit, two kinds of heart. Two foundations. Those that build upon the rock, they stand when the storms of life come. We've seen some terrible pictures in the past few days of Hurricane Florence, and we know about that from Hugo, those of us who were here then, and even the flood from a couple of years ago. We know what can happen whenever those storms come. And here Jesus gives this wonderful example that he is the rock. And those who build upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, their foundation is sure. And nothing can shake that foundation. But any other foundation that a man tries to build, whether it's his own good works, if he tries to earn his salvation, he says, well, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to be good and I'm going to forgive and I'm going to love other people, you know. That's what we do after we're saved. That's not what we do in order to get saved. Salvation is not by the works that we do. So Jesus gives these five rules. And as we look at these once again, Jesus asked the question in verses 46 and 7, kind of paraphrasing it, are you only calling Jesus Lord, or are you being obedient to the rules of life that he sets down? The golden rule on how we treat others, the judge's rule on the decisions we make and then living by them, the master's rule, setting the example to others, the gardener's rule, producing fruit that is honoring to the Lord, and the builders rule by being established upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question this morning, are you just calling him Lord, Lord, or are you obedient to him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his work on Calvary that saves us from sin when we put our faith in him. But Lord, we also thank you for the master teacher that he is. After we have had that foundation of faith upon the solid rock, and salvation is not just to keep us out of hell, but we thank you that it does. You've given us these principles, these rules by which we're to live if we're going to be disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. So help us in all of these areas that we, that we might be merciful to others, because you have been kind and merciful to the unthankful and to the evil. Lord, we pray that as we sing a hymn of invitation, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and that we would surrender our will to your will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.